So this one is from Quinn. It says, hello, Sci Guys.
Hello.
And then he goes on to say, hello, guys. My name is Quinn, and I am a high school student from Canada.
Wow.
I am very excited that I found your podcast, as I love science, and it's what I wish to study when I go to university. Specifically, bioengineering.
That's what Corey did.
It's close to what I did.
Yeah, close to what Corey did.
But when I tell some of my male teachers, they try to tell me that I'm a girl, and the only STEM thing I can do is nursing.
That's true.
Are you aware that you're a girl?
I'm sorry, dear. I'm sorry to laugh, but you appear to be a girl. Girls can't do science.
I know I live in like a internet bubble, but the idea that a teacher would still say that is just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. In Canada as well, I thought Canada was
pretty
nice.
Forward place. Yeah. Yeah,
you'll find stupid people everywhere.
That's true.
That's true.
And some
that's
of them
true.
Are teachers.
I found three of them in this room.
Not me.
Yeah.
It's us three.
It's us three. It's us three. Quinn then goes on to say, finding your podcast meant discovering a more mainstream way of seeing the scientific world, which actually allowed me to realize that my AP bio teacher actually watched your podcast, and now he's helped me to research universities and programs. Anyway, lovely. I love the Scrolls of Vesuvius episode in the way that it mixed a bit of history with your normal scientific comedy genre.
That was a Patreon bonus one. That was a good one.
That was, and Quinn is actually a Patreon.
Thanks, Quinn.
Yeah. You can also join our Patreon at patreon.com/SciGuys if you want to be just as cool as Quinn. Anyway, Quinn continues onward with, also, I would love if you were to do an episode on the unique evolutionary path that our world took, as it was something that always interested me, and I'm sure that you guys will be able to make it the most interesting thing possible. Well, you know what, Quinn? If you suggest that as a Patreon bonus vote, we might well just do it. I think it's actually on the vote for this month.
You are just dreadful at reading emails where somebody requests an episode and then not doing that
you
as the episode.
Oh, we may not.
If this episode is relevant to the email, I'll tell you that. But also, everyone requests something in an email, and it would mean I couldn't read out any emails.
Yeah, true.
Okay. But the best way to get a request done is to put it on Patreon, and that's where we'll do it. Because that's where all of the ideas come from.
That is where all the ideas come from.
I ran out like 20 weeks ago. P.S. Luke, I also have always thought about how, to me, the world began when I was born. And since discovering your podcast, I've began referring to years as BQ. Anyways, bye.
I want to know how old Quinn is now so that we can find out if the universe started actually
before
me. We're
not going to start reading out dates in BQ.
Well, Quinn's still in school, so presumably.
Okay. So actually, okay, well.
Yeah, I think BQ is about 7 years
probably
after
born
BQ.
Like, 7 AL.
Yeah. Dear Lord.
Do you not know what this is?
No.
So Rachel and any other listener doesn't know.
Oh, Rachel doesn't know.
In case
know.
You want to leave this in. So basically, I made a joke maybe 3 or 4 times that the universe started at my birth. And so we've got a new SciGuys exclusive dating system, date system, which is before Luke and in the year of our Luke, BL and AL. And I would just like to, okay, I'm going to tell you my little secret now, Corey. One of the secrets I've been planning is I and my friend Darian have designed a website that converts years into BL and AL. For you to use during your planning process.
Is this why you texted me the other day saying that you were trying to write code to convert things to BL?
That is why, yes. It took me a long time and my friend Darian fixed it and now it works. So you can look forward to that.
It's useful to nobody except Corey.
This is actually great for me. Thank you.
Start the show.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jem and Luke Cutford. And also, our Rachel Kiki.
Hello!
This week we'll be talking about science sheds and a pair of Nobel Prizes.
Science sheds?
Science sheds.
Ah.
Well, one shed that was used for science. So,
hang on. Is this the story of the guy who made radioactive material in his back garden in a shed?
Well, it's not a guy, Luke. Actually...
A shed.
A woman.
Oh, is it a woman?
It's a woman.
It's a woman.
It's a woman.
It's a woman.
Guess what it is today?
Plot twist.
When this comes out, March 8th, International Women's Day.
Way!
Yeah.
Happy International Women's Day.
To all the women.
And others.
Everyone else. as well. You must also celebrate it.
You know, in this time of year, one of the top searches is when is International Men's Day? It's in September. By the way, it always is. It's September.
It does exist.
I thought it was November.
Yeah. November then. Hold on, let's find out.
I'm probably wrong. I don't care.
No, I think you're right.
I don't celebrate it.
So on International Women's Day, searches for when is International Men's Day peaks. It's November 19th, okay? It exists. Gosh. It's Women's Day today. That's what we're talking about.
But then
when
Men's Day comes around, no one cares.
No, no one does care.
No one actually cares.
I think people care.
Not that many people. Not the people that care. It's mainly a time for like suicide awareness.
Yeah, that's generally what it's for. But it's not the people that care on International Women's
Day.
But you don't see it trending on Twitter or anything.
It's just like...
Yeah.
It's always on Women's Day that
The only reason people care about it on Women's Day is to shut women up. Yes. But we're not going to be shutting women up. We're going to be talking about women today. So, can you guess who we're talking about?
Women.
Which woman?
All of them.
The one with the shed.
Yes.
The one with the shed.
Shed woman.
Okay.
Shed woman.
For a long time, and even now, women have been kept and forced out of science just to be recognized.
I was going to say kept in sheds.
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Just to be recognized, they've had to be not just a good scientist in their own right, but also better than all of the men around them. Yeah. And that really rings true for Marie Curie, one of the greatest scientists of her time, if not of all time. So that's who we're talking about today, Marie Curie. Do you know anything about her
at all? Now, that's a name that I know, but I know nothing about her.
Really?
Well, it'll be an interesting episode for you then. Yeah, it will
be
quite interesting.
She's Polish?
She was Polish. Well, she still is Polish.
Yes. Thank you.
She was a woman? She was women?
Well, she was one woman.
She was international.
A single woman. She was actually international. She was a single woman. Multiple points of her life, yes.
Oh, single ladies.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Single ladies.
2 minutes in, we've already mentioned her dating prospects.
That's the issue. Now, here's the thing. No. This is what bothers me. I'm looking for a lot of interesting stories about Marie Curie. And obviously the science is amazing. But there's also stories about her love life, which...
So what men was she with?
Yeah, which, to be honest, I didn't want to include, but I feel that I kind of have to tell an almost accurate picture of her life. But her reaction to all of this is quite interesting. So why don't we just dive on in? Marie Curie became the first woman to win a Nobel Prize and the first person, man or woman, to win the award twice.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So that's where she ended up. Let's go back to the start. Marie
sounds like a rap.
So that's where she ended up. Let's go back to the start.
Welcome to the Marie Curie rap.
Man, white people should not be rapping. Marie Sklodowska was born in Warsaw on the 7th of November, 1867. The daughter of a teacher.
Wait, what's that in BL?
You didn't convert it?
I was going to...
If only he had a website that could easily convert dates.
Yeah.
7, 20,
127 BL.
Nice.
Wow.
That is a while ago.
It is quite a while ago, yeah. So Marie Sklodowska was born in Warsaw on 7th of November, 1867, which is around 127 BL. She was the daughter of a teacher... and the youngest of five children. And when she was 10, her mother, Bronislava, died from tuberculosis.
Oh.
Which isn't very nice.
That is sad.
It's quite sad, yes. But have you noticed? Her name isn't...
Curie. Oh.
Curie.
It's not Curie.
I did
Because she's not married.
That. I did
Sorry,
that
I did fair. Misspeak. Maria Sklodowska.
Ah.
Her name was originally Maria.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So neither of her names are actually her name.
Well,
she rebranded.
She just got married. She did actually do a rebrand. She did do a little bit of a rebrand in her teens. So from childhood, she was really smart, had an amazing memory, and when she was 16, she finished secondary school and won a medal for being just the best.
Is that actually the
I
want to
win
award?
That medal.
Yeah, for being the best in school.
Medal for being the best.
Yeah.
That's
for
amazing.
Being the absolute best.
Cute.
So yeah, her mom, like, she finished school, her mom had died, and her dad couldn't support her because apparently he lost his savings through a bad investment.
Oh. That means gambling.
Yeah. Yeah, one does would assume. He was a teacher as well, so it's not like he was rich and making all these.
Sure.
He probably just gambled it away.
To be fair. All investments are technically gambling, so...
Yeah, they are. It's just white-collar gambling, isn't it?
Yeah.
So she had to become a governess to kind of, you know, pay her way. So even though she was a top student, she couldn't go to the male-only university of Warsaw. because it was male only.
Sure.
And unfortunately,
that makes sense.
She was not male. So, as I said, she became a governess. Now, you'd think that she might use that money to pay her own way, but actually she didn't. She used her money as a governess to pay her older sisters, basically university tuition.
Because she's a legend.
As a total legend, with the agreement
that
her sister would then pay her back when she was done.
So she was an investment banker.
I was going to say, it's a gamble.
It's a gamble.
A bit of a gamble. So that they could both get an education without having to scrimp and save.
Wow.
Yeah, so as I said, she was a governess. And around about that time, she was also taking part in the nationalist...
Sorry, can I just ask? Really stupid question. Mm-hmm. What's a governess?
I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
So just before she was a governess, she was also taking part in the nationalist free university, reading Polish to women workers. So she was teaching people underground when it was illegal. Not physically underground, but you know.
Like a mold.
That's the thing. Like, do you ever think about the Underground Railroad? I always thought that the Underground Railroad was a literal underground.
You mean it's not underground?
No, it's not even a railroad.
What?
What?
What is it? Why is it called the Underground Railroad?
It's where they were freeing slaves.
Oh, yeah.
It's just there's no rails. There's just roads.
Yeah, so it wasn't underground. And there's no rails.
No.
Wow.
It's just the road. Back to Marie Curie.
Yeah.
Not even remotely the same
track.
So she was a governess, which is effectively like a kind of nanny.
I thought it was like Jane Eyre.
Yeah.
I thought that's where I heard it before.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Jane Eyre, you know, the one that we could all relate to.
Yeah.
It's like women would either, like a lot of them, unless they were born to very rich families, would either go and be governesses and then teach, you know, children and use their skills there, or they would marry rich. That was sort of like one of the only two options.
Mm.
I mean, a lot of women were governesses.
Yeah. I mean, not a lot of options for women. Were there?
No.
Not very good. Got a lot more options now, which is nice.
Thank God.
It's good.
Significantly more. Yeah. More
like
than
coming
two.
On this podcast. More than two. Up to two. More
than two. Except like coming on this podcast. Shy guys who?
Step below being governess.
Yeah, so...
Rachel can be our Sci Guys governess. You can clean for us whilst we record. Imagine you'd learn to clean a speak, Corey.
Quiet you!
I'm making dreadful comments on International Women's Day. I apologize.
Times have changed.
This is the first of the stories that I was a little bit hesitant to tell. Apparently, she had, and I quote, an unhappy love affair.
Oh, no. Oh.
Yeah, so what happened was effectively the eldest child of the family she was the governess for... she kind of got the hots for, and they started they started a little secret relationship.
Whoa.
So his name was Kazmierz, or what? I don't speak Polish.
Give to you best.
Something.
You're trying.
Kazmierz. Let's call him Kaz. The oldest was
K. That's what Marie Curie called him.
Honestly, I don't think Marie Curie was into the big K.
I thought she was into big K. No, not that K, but this K.
That's Ketterman, look. I'm talking about that was Ketterman.
No, I don't think
Marie... Special K.
That's
Special K.
Special K.
Big K is the name of this man.
Okay, Big K is
man
the name
boy.
Of... Okay. So, the parents found out that Marie and Big K were together, and they didn't really feel good about it, because he was basically on holiday from his agricultural engineering course, and she was poor. And that's it.
Oh.
How old was he? Do we know? Well, she was pretty quite young at the time.
She was about 18.
Okay.
Around about the age of 18-ish. And I can't find the age of him, but presumably around about the same age.
About the same age, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is that finding these stories is quite difficult, because obviously people want to focus primarily on just the achievements that she had.
Mm.
But also, she had a whole life. She's a person, you know? It's interesting to go into that and see what she did.
He was called Kazmierz Zawowski, and he went on to be a Polish mathematician.
Wow. Ooh. Look at him.
Ooh.
Look at my encyclopedic knowledge.
Wow. It's almost as if the video can't see you on your phone.
Oh, my hat. There
we go. Yeah, so she had this love affair with Kaz, but the parents weren't very happy about it, because obviously
they
didn't want their son with great life prospects shacking up with
a nanny.
With a penniless nanny.
Ugh.
How silly were they? She's so smart, and she was so good that she beat,
she's going
she
nowhere,
beat whatever they were going to do. I don't know what I'm saying. Basically, she went on to be like a very famous
more famous than him,
obviously. Yeah,
more famous than him.
Way more famous than him. So they really screwed that one.
Yeah.
And maybe if they hadn't done, we would be hearing about Mary Zoravsky instead.
Or he would have held her back and she wouldn't have achieved anything.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, that's probably, yeah. What would have happened. Yeah. Because as you know, behind every great woman is
herself.
A man probably being creepy.
That's really sad.
Behind every great woman is herself.
Yes. Or whoever's behind her.
It's women all the way down. It's just women all the way down. So she still had a bit of a thing for him. She stayed working for the family because she had to keep on sending money to her sister, who was studying in Paris. As I've said, she had a pact with her sister where she'd send the money and her sister would study. So,
how did you send money in those days?
I think you literally sent money.
That is mad.
Put or it probably in a donkey's mouth and then you send the donkey and hope it doesn't take it.
Well, you feed it to the donkey.
Yeah, yeah,
you've
got to
make sure
yeah.
the donkey is very well fed.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
PayPal was your actual pal who just gave it to other people.
So here's a quote from Marie Curie. This is from a letter to her cousin Henrietta. Why are they all Polish? This is
because
they're from Poland. What are you? What are you talking about?
It's just very frustrating to read the names.
They all have to be Polish. God.
This is from a letter to her cousin.
I apologize to our Polish listeners.
I apologize
for Corey's previous statement, but also for every way he pronounces everything.
Look, I know I'm wrong. Please correct me. I don't know how to say it. So this is a letter from Marie Curie to her cousin Henrietta Mikulowska. And this is dated April 4th, 1887. So it says, if men don't want to marry impecunious young girls, let them go off to the devil. No one is asking them anything, but why do they offend by troubling the peace of an innocent creature?
Marie Curie snapped.
She went off with this one.
I wish she was alive today because she'd be amazing. Like, if Marie Curie was on social media, it would be, I would follow her. She'd be great. So she was funding her sister's medical studies.
She'd be better at Twitter than Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson literally notices things.
Yeah. He's horrific, isn't he?
Hey, guys. You know this thing that we all know?
Did you notice this thing in this film?
I'm smart. Neil.
He's trying.
Stop.
Trying
probably
to be
just relevant.
Really insecure.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You ever notice how you drive on a parkway, but park in a driveway? Give me a mustache and call me Neil deGrasse Tyson.
He's like Vsauce, but less interesting.
And more rich.
And more rich, yeah.
And much, much darker. Yeah.
That is
sorry, I don't see skin color, Corey.
You should probably get your eyes checked, Luke.
I don't see anything.
Wait. This has happened before. Open your eyes.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank there we goodness. Go. Yeah.
Common mistake.
I always forget.
My eyes are closed.
I wake up every day and I always think I'm blind. Then I open my eyes.
Sounds like you're rapping again.
I can see.
I'm just dropping in little bits of my EP.
Can you just put a beat behind that, James?
So just as a reminder, Mary was making money to help send to her sister, Bronya, who was studying in Paris. So Mary obviously wanted to, go on and follow that, but she couldn't up until 1891, when her sister offered her the opportunity to go and live with her in Paris, which was amazing. Obviously, Mary jumped at the chance and went. And the reason that happened was because Sklodowski, who is her father, had become the director of a reform school, and that position then paid well enough that he could just send money to Bronya, which meant that she didn't need to take so much money from Mary anymore. So, she got her dream in 1891 to go and study in Paris. And there, she studied at the Sorbonne. I also don't speak French. And I'm telling you, this word is coming up a lot, so get prepared for me to butcher it as
Sorbonne.
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 Sorbonne. It's like S-O-R.
Apologize to French listeners also. Slowly we will alienate most of Europe, just as our country has done.
International Women's Day. Woo!
No, it's National Women's Day. It's only
women outside of this nation don't exist anymore.
So Bronya was really had Mary's back and said to her dad, "Yo, daddy, set aside some of that money for Mary." And he did, which makes me wonder, would he just have not done that had she not asked? Like,
we'll never know.
It's not a very good dad. We don't know. We don't know, do we? Moving on. So she was studying, as I said, physics and mathematics at the Sorbonne. And then she got her licenseship. She basically got a degree in physics and the mathematical sciences. And then in 1894, she met a man named Pierre. Pierre Curie, professor of the School of Physics.
Did she marry him?
Mary married Pierre. A year later in 1895. So they
a year later?
Yeah, they didn't know each other very long before they got married.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
And it was around that time that she actually did her full-on rebrand and changed from Maria.
Is that what you call getting married?
Yeah.
No, because she changed her first name to Mary, which is the French spelling.
Yeah. So when she got married, she was like, oh, I quite like that word. I'm going to make it my name.
She really did marry Curie.
Or she was like talking to her friend she was like, yeah, I'm going to marry Curie.
That was her eureka moment.
That's going to be my name.
I think she had other eureka moments than just changing her name to a man's surname.
It's her biggest eureka moment.
Is that why we know of her? That's why she won the Nobel Prize.
Both of them, yeah.
Wow.
One for Mary, the other for Curie. I would like to take this point again to say that it does really bother me that so many of the stories about Marie Curie are about the men that she was with, when actually she did a lot, which is what we're about to get into. And actually, it would seem that from her relationship with Pierre, she did a fair bulk of the sort of studying, and then he kind of left what he was studying to come and join her because it was so interesting. She was doing so well at it.
They were a real
team. They were great. So they married and they started working together. And she found herself interested in a mineral called pitch blend, which
sounds like an audio
it's
plugin.
A blend of pitch.
it's a mineral called pitch blend. And it had a sort of activity. At that point, there wasn't really a term for radioactivity, but it had activity, which was more than that of uranium, which at the time, by the way, people didn't realize how dangerous it was.
Oh, dear.
It was in toothpaste.
It was in kids' toys.
Oh, wow.
It was in kids' toys. People would just use it. People would carry it around in their pockets because it glowed.
Wait, so why did they put it in these things?
Because it's green and it's glowing.
Pretty.
It used to come in like kids' scientific kits. You'd get like a uranium kids' toy.
What the hell?
My point that I said it was in toothpaste. It was in literal toothpaste that people put inside of their bodies.
I know, man. Fluoride's in toothpaste these days.
Yeah, but fluoride's not radioactive.
Yeah. Fluoride than uranium.
Look, as
That's
humans,
a joke, by the way.
As humans, we're pretty smart, okay? But that's not a high point for us.
Well, I'm sure there's loads of stuff we're doing right now, which 100 years from now they'll laugh at us for.
Put fluoride in their toothpaste. Idiots.
Let's put it this way: we are still just as dumb as we were then.
Yeah.
Maybe slightly less, or slightly more.
Yeah.
Up to, or more. So she was working on pitch blend, and she could only explain the higher activity than uranium by there being small quantities of an unknown substance with very high activity. So up until that point, the only substance they really knew about with activity, radioactivity, was uranium. But Mary potentially found a different one in this pitch blend. She just needed to, this is more. Yeah, she just needed to get it out. So no one had ever found it before because it was only in very small quantities in this pitch blend. She just had to, you know, get it out and make it more. make it more.
Make it more.
Make it more.
Make it more.
I think that's called, what's the word?
Making it more?
No, no.
Making it more. Left.
No. Refining.
Refining, so that's refine. The word. Ah. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes my brain just loses words.
Mm.
It sucks when that happens, doesn't it? It's really...
Very funny.
Making it more.
Frustrating. Refining.
So her husband, Pierre Curie, joined her in her work. And it led to the discovery of... Do you know what it led to the discovery of? Any guesses?
Plutonium.
Close.
Oh!
It's actually,
that was a stab in the dark, that.
It's close. It's it does begin with a P and end with an E-um. It's polonium.
Oh.
And also... radium.
I used to love polonium when I was a kid.
Polonium?
What's
that?
Polonium. Do you know
polonium?
No.
What's polonium?
Oh, like baloney.
Yeah, it's called polonium. That's true.
Okay.
Hang on, what?
What?
That is mad. Is it,
it's a type of meat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
polonium.
It's cured meat.
Yeah, it's called, it's called polonium.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
It doesn't come from the same place. James. Polonium, the name actually comes from Poland, which is where Marie Curie is from.
And is this, well, a, this is an element?
It is an element, yes.
Ah, it's not a radioactive. I've heard of.
Is it not?
No.
Well,
no.
You should probably look at the elemental table. Then
there's lots of boring
the
ones.
The elemental, the periodic
table. The, yeah, Watson. The
you should probably look at the periodic table then, Luke.
We're not editing it out.
Corey. I don't care.
We're leaving it in.
I will simply say it again and hope that people forget. Yeah, so if you look at the periodic table, it is on there.
You mean the elemental table?
Shut the hell up. Why don't we release elemental tables? That's it.
Psych Eyes merch. So
everything was fine to the polonium mission.
Oh, that'd be a good little, that'd be a good little poster to release, wouldn't it?
No.
The elemental table.
We'll release the elemental table and the AL calendar. The two
something
things we planned.
That no one will buy. There will be three of them sold.
Hey, Rachel will buy one
I
too.
I would buy one as well.
Yeah. I'm not buying one.
I'll buy you one.
So... Yeah, so
not the idea that you're going to make us all purchase our own merchandise.
So in 1898, they discovered polonium, and then discovered radium slightly later, later on in 1898. And radium is named after rays, which, you know, radioactive rays. Yeah, it gave off radioactive rays. So they're not very good at naming things, but they are very good at discovering them.
Thank you.
Well, naming is the easy bit.
Naming is the easy bit. It's not. It's not. It's not quite like the dinosaurs where you had to. You had to name them. That was the important part.
No. Yeah.
No. So, Pierre went and studied the physical kind of study of the radiations, whereas Marie kept on trying to obtain like pure radium.
What's the
as
word
a metal.
For that? Refining.
Making it more.
Thanks, Luke.
Thank you. You're
thanks,
welcome.
Guys.
Reminding
I love the support here. Yeah. Love it. I love it.
So what is polonium?
It's a it's
that's
just an element.
Element.
Just an element.
What does it decay into?
Why would I know that?
Polonium.
Why
know.
Would I, why would I, that's not a question that anyone is going to ask.
I
he
asked
it.
It.
Did ask it. To be fair.
Yeah, you did ask it. You...
Corey is now unlocking his phone and going to Google or. Maybe DuckDuckGo, whatever he searches with.
Why would you? You don't need to say multiple
I
names.
No, well, maybe we'll get maybe commissioned by the BBC and we'll need to say multiple brands.
Maybe it's Bing.
Maybe it's Bing.
Maybe it's
Yahoo.
What's the tree one?
Ecosia.
Ecosia.
Yes, plant a tree with your search for polonium.
Decays into polonium and then.
It decays into polonium.
Wait, hold
into
on.
Itself.
Polonium decays into itself.
Seven isotopes are in trace decay products. Polonium 210, polonium 214. Polonium 218 occur in the decay chain. So it decays from uranium into polonium.
Mm.
And it can also decay from thorium into polonium.
Wow.
And it's the only isotope with a half-life longer than 3 minutes.
Oh.
How do they get it then?
What? It's because it's longer than
how,
3 minutes.
How do they get it if it's like a short half-life?
They harvest.
They don't. It's got to be very quick. Speedy.
Quickly, he ordered it. Take it over quickly before it decays.
Wow, Prime's getting really good, isn't it?
You got to really be fast with that like a little clicky camera finger, don't they?
Yeah.
Really you threw me off track, Luke. So Mary was trying to get pure radium in the metallic state, which was difficult because obviously there wasn't very much of it and it could decay. So she got there with the help of the chemist André-Louise de Bierne.
A woman?
Yeah. A perfect pronunciation. A woman?
André seems to be...
André, like...
Like a man name. Okay, no, sorry. André. André-Louise.
Sad.
French. I don't know. That was one of Pierre's pupils. So she was looking into this. And then Henri Becquerel, or Henri, as they say in France.
Heard of him?
Becquerel. You've heard of Becquerel's because it's a measure for radioactivity.
Yes.
So Henri Becquerel discovered a new phenomenon, which was later called radioactivity. And as I've seen it, it was called this by Marie Curie herself. So she was looking for a subject for her thesis because she was going to be, she wanted to be to get her PhD.
Yeah.
And she tried to find out if this radioactivity that was in uranium could be found in other matter. And she found it was true for thorium around at the same time as someone called G.C. Schmidt did.
Gemma Collins Smith.
Yes, Gemma Collins was alive in the 1800s and also was a very, very smart scientist.
Yeah, you never know.
Yep.
Well, proud of her.
So after the results were sort of published for this research.
Today on International Women's Day, we will be celebrating Gemma Collins Schmidt.
Marie Curie received her Doctorate of Science in June 1903 and then was given the Davy Medal of the Royal Society along with her husband.
Given her husband by the Royal Society.
Yeah, they wrapped him up.
She and her husband were given the Davy Medal of the Royal Society, but apparently they really didn't want to give it to her.
Because she was a woman.
Yeah, because she was a lady. Ladies really aren't smart; they can't get awards. But she was very smart. She did get awards.
She must have had to deal with so much being a woman in science, especially at that time. Like, you consider how hard it is now for a lot of people, just not in terms of like the access they have to it, in terms of the sort of social understanding of the social view.
Absolutely.
It's hard now. I cannot imagine how she managed to do all of those things.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I wanted to do the story, because it's just a story of this woman that just grafted her entire life and fought every single obstacle that came her way. Amazing. There were so many hurdles put in place for her that just would not have been there. If she was a man, she would be she is one of the greatest scientists of all time. But if she was a man, she would be upheld as one of the top scientists.
Yeah.
But she did have a tough life. So while they were doing all of this research, Marie and Pierre, they were doing it in effectively what was a shed. So there's a respected chemist from Germany called Wilhelm Ostfold, and he described it as, and I quote, a cross between a stable and a potato shed.
Oh, sounds like my room.
In fact, when he was first shown the premises, he assumed that it was, and I quote, a practical joke. They were literally operating out of a shed, I assume about the size or smaller than the room that we are recording this podcast in right now. As in, the technology that we've got right now is better than what Marie Curie was using to discover radioactivity.
Yeah, she's so much better than all of us.
Yeah.
The technology we're using to record this podcast is probably...
Yeah, we could have discovered radioactivity.
Yeah,
right?
We could have.
Yeah, we could have done it.
Right.
Yeah,
with this stuff right here. Yeah. So even after they won the Nobel Prize, they were basically promised a new laboratory by the University of Paris. They just didn't really get it.
Oh.
It didn't. It wasn't really happening. But Marie Curie apparently really enjoyed her time in the shed, even though it was leaky, drafty. Even though it was leaky and drafty. And also, apparently, she had to literally mix the materials herself. So from this source that I've read, it said she spent entire days stirring boiling cauldrons of uranium-rich pigeon blade until broken with
witch's
fatigue.
Brew.
Yeah.
Did she... Witchcraft. Maybe this is going to ruin the ending, but did she die of anything related to cancer?
Why don't we find out?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I'll get to this at the end because there is a very interesting point, despite the fact that they were very, very intelligent people and discovered this amazing stuff. They didn't know very much about it.
Mm.
So, effectively, Marie Curie had been like physically mixing herself all of this, it's called slag. So this uranium-rich slag, trying to refine it. So it wasn't so easy for Marie Curie, not just because of all of the science that she wasn't really allowed to do, but also because in 1906, her husband Pierre was killed in Paris after accidentally stepping in front of a horse-drawn wagon.
When you say she wasn't allowed to do, were people trying to stop her doing this science?
Allowed to study at the University of Warsaw. People kept on trying to hold her back from awards. People just didn't take her very seriously quite often. In fact, people focused very heavily on her personal life in ways that is all too reminiscent.
And we're doing it today.
I mean, we always focus on personal lives, I feel, on this podcast, which is the only reason that I'm doing that. But I feel much in the same way that a lot of women's personal lives are scrutinized in the way that men's aren't today in the media.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's obscene that's been happening since the 1800s, and it's still happening now. What is wrong with us? Can we just stop it, please?
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah. One day we'll figure out that women are people too.
Well, it's just because they're such, they're really only conversations that we're starting to have properly. We have been having them for a long time, but now with the access to the internet and be able to communicate with everyone so much, we're learning so much more at a faster pace. So all of these things that are sort of instilled in cultures about, you know, men and women, we're beginning to sort of observe them. But it's so funny how little we change and how little we've changed over such a long period of time.
That's so true. It's ridiculous. But bringing it back down, Pierre died in 1906, which obviously Mary wasn't very happy about. That was her husband. She loved him. And, you know, when I think about Mary and Pierre Curie, I think of them working together for...
Sorry, I thought you just said, when I think about marrying Pierre Curie.
Which you do almost daily, am I right?
I fantasize about it.
Honestly, it's one of the great losses of my life that I did not get to marry Pierre Curie.
Not stepped in front of the Volkswagen.
We could have been together today.
So it wasn't a very good time for Marie Curie. But on the bright side, she threw herself into her work and also took up his professorship that was vacated due to his early demise. Yeah, she got his job. If your husband's got to die for you to get the job, your husband's got to die for you to get the job.
Yeah.
We don't know if Pierre actually accidentally stepped in front of that.
Don't accuse Marie Curie of murder. Do
not speak ill of the dead, boy.
Yeah, no, it was an awful time.
Respect the hustle.
The thing is, though, when I think about Mary and Pierre Curie, Mary and Pierre Curie, I think of them as being together.
I can see how you misheard that.
Yeah, no, I realize. Yeah, yeah.
When I think about marrying Pierre Curie.
When I think of Pierre and Marie Curie.
Yeah.
I quite often think of them as being together for a long time and working together for a long time and dying quite old, but also of them both dying of kind of radiation poisoning. But Pierre was hit by a cart.
Yeah,
they were they only knew each other for about 12 years.
Or was the cart hit by Pierre?
I mean, both are
relative. Wow, 12 years.
This is not an Einstein episode. Sorry,
12 years. That's amazing to do all of that.
So. She took up the professorship that her husband had left vacant upon his demise. And in 1910, she published something else on radioactivity, which meant that by 1911, she was awarded the Nobel Prize for Chemistry for the isolation of pure radium.
Blimey.
Which is amazing. So that was, again, the first time that someone had won two Nobel Prizes.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. She went from being the first woman to being just... this is something that I think is amazing. The fact that she went from being the first woman to do something, which is kind of a non-thing, if you know what I mean. Like, because if you view it as that she's just a person, there are so many women throughout history that were capable enough to win a Nobel Prize.
So in a future civilization, when people don't make the distinction between man and woman, she's also somebody who won two things.
Exactly.
That sets her out as a... person as well as in the category.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, once we get to the point where we are able to view men and women as completely equal without...
She'll still be up
paying
there.
Attention to that. Yeah, she'll be there.
That's brilliant.
Which is incredible. But, and she really deserves it. As I said, she started off really, really poor and became one of, if not the most prominent physicist of her time.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Absolutely incredible.
Oh, bless her.
So this is the issue as well. I found two different reasons for winning the Nobel Prize. One of them is for isolating pure radium. The other is for creating a means of measuring radioactivity, both of which are massive things. Imagine if we didn't know how to measure radioactivity now. It's just incomprehensible.
Oh, my God.
She discovered that. So not only that, the Sorbonne then built the first radium institute with two laboratories, one to study radioactivity and the other for biological research into the treatment of cancer. The one that studied radioactivity was under Marie Curie's kind of care. And then during the First World War, Marie worked to develop kind of small portable X-ray units that were used to diagnose injuries near the, well, on the battlefield, essentially.
Yeah.
And they were called, it's got a fantastic name, they were called Petit Curies, like Little Curies, which is lovely. She was the director of the Red Cross Radiological Service, so she was touring Paris asking for money, supplies, and vehicles, which could be converted into these little machines.
Mm.
So she lived such an amazing life, coming from nothing to becoming a fantastic scientist, losing the love of her life, and then just going into World War One and being like, okay, cool, here's an invention to help you diagnose people. And also, I'm going to make it from cars and stuff. She's just absolutely amazing. So that was in 1914. The little Curies were ready and sent off to the battlefront. And
sounds like she sent all her children to war.
Tiny versions.
Funny
of her.
You should speak of her children.
Yeah.
Because
funny her... you should speak of her children.
No, because her daughter Irene, who was 17, was working with her close to the front line, clearing at casualty clearing
Irene,
stations.
Who was 17.
Irene, who was 17.
Don't rap again. I got told off for rapping. You also can't rap.
So her 17-year-old daughter Irene was at kind of almost the front line at casualty clearing stations. So her daughter was there working with her
and with working with the little Curies.
I think so. Yeah, so she was X-ray.
She was
the
little
Curie
working with the little
Curie.
You could only picture little versions of that.
So basically, these machines were used to find broken bones and bullets and other kind of shrapnel that were stuck in them.
X-ray.
Yeah, X-rays. Yeah. So it's similar to like the X-ray machines that we use today. It's apparently almost essentially the same thing. And it's amazing that she made these little portable ones that were used in World War One, because I hadn't heard about that until I started looking into Marie Curie, which is insane. That should be something you learn about when you learn about World War One, that Marie Curie was involved. In the same way that you learn
about X-rays.
Well, yeah. In the same way that you learned that Einstein with World War Two was like the precursor to the atom bomb. So she invented like kind of a miniature X-ray machines.
To be fair, it's perfectly possible we are taught it and we don't remember it because it's not a negative thing.
I'd remember it.
You would remember it. Okay. Well, all I mean is I may have been taught it and not remembered it.
Fair
I don't
enough.
Know.
Not in an awful way. I just know that I remember pointless.
Because I know who Marie Curie is. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what she did until now.
Yeah, fair enough. Absolutely fair enough. So after the war, she continued her working as a researcher and a teacher, and the head of the laboratory she won. So after the war, she continued working as a researcher, teacher, and the head of the laboratory, and she won just a lot more awards and prizes as her life went on. Mm. After that point, there was kind of an issue of a sex scandal where she was having an affair with a married man who was estranged from his wife. I want to mention it, because this was coming up in the news. And she effectively hit out and said, okay, cool. This is my personal life. I see no reason why it should have any influence on my scientific achievements. Yeah. So if you're going to talk about me as a scientist, talk about me as a scientist. My personal life means nothing to you, which is just incredible. Like I love, honestly, the balls on her just to come out and be like, leave me alone, you know?
She's probably just sick of it as well.
Oh, she probably was just sick. I mean, the thing is that she was in the public eye a lot, and obviously her husband had died, so she was a widow.
Mm. Must have been so resilient.
Yeah, she really must have been. So that is kind of like an overview of her life. And in 1936, she died of leukemia. So she was in her 60s when she died. But yeah, so the leukemia was obviously from working with so many radioactive substances throughout her life. Because if we go back a little bit, they didn't know that it was dangerous.
Yeah.
Pierre, so there's some stories that I've got for you wherein Marie would have a little bit of plutonium or uranium on her nightstand as a little nightlight because it glowed in the dark. Yeah. Oh, Pierre would carry some around in his pockets because it glowed. Whoa. It would show it off. And be
must have been so cool when they first discovered it, though, because it's just like a thing that glows all the time.
It's a warm, glowing thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there was something else, and this baffles me that he did this. Pierre apparently strapped uranium to his arm to investigate the burns that he got from it. Because because if you think about it, you get radiation burns, which aren't like normal heat burns. Yeah. So it's like getting sunburn from this little stick of glowy green stuff.
How long does uranium last? What's its half-life?
I think it's got...
Because I wonder, the reason I ask is I wonder if we could nowadays, with like modern material sciences, if there's any way we could create a material you could wrap around uranium that is like it blocks the radiation whilst letting the light through.
Because it wouldn't be able to do that.
Why not?
Because radiation.
Oh, it's not beta radiation, it's gamma radiation.
Yeah.
Okay, well then. Well, I mean, it could still selectively block the wavelengths of harmful radiation while letting the light through.
Because
like glass windows do that, but they block the helpful radiation and let the harmful radiation through.
Yeah.
But you can block, there is possible to create glass that.
Yeah, it's possible, but also it's such high energy that it's stuff like lead that can, it's only stuff like lead that can block it.
Well, that's not fun, is it, Corey?
Like several inches. as in blocking the gamma radiation, which is what uranium will admit, is several layers of lead.
Yeah, but I mean, well, even, yeah, I just wonder if like one day we'll have a material that can absorb harmful radiation and put out light as well. So like then we can get this perfect little
light source.
Just to get it to glow. Mm. Although I would point out, we do have glow sticks already, so.
Yeah, but they're not very good, are they? And they're not
uranium,
as fun.
They're not quite as dangerous,
quite,
are they?
They're not quite uranium.
It's the danger of a stick of uranium that I really like.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, Luke,
it's the risk.
The half-life of uranium is 704 million years.
So you'd have a torch that lasts forever. compared to your life.
We must harness
it.
Yeah,
come on.
We must harness it.
Come on, someone. Come up with a material that blocks harmful gamma radiation and turns it into light.
Come on. Just so Luke can have his little uranium torch, please.
Yeah.
Forever. Forever.
Or nightlight. Better yet, Mary lived into her 60s.
So yeah, just
use it.
It can't
be that dangerous.
That's quite old.
But yeah, no, the fact that Pierre strapped it to his arm to investigate the burns that he was getting. Because I feel like if something was mysteriously burning me, I wouldn't then strap it to my body.
It's just science. No one else is going to do it.
No, he was just looking at it, like using a torch.
Yeah, for science.
What are these burns from?
It bothers me that male scientists
using a flamethrower to investigate why you're on fire.
It bothers me that male scientists can be absolute idiots. Case in point, the Demon Core, an episode that we did previously.
Oh god, episode 6.
Tells the story of men who killed themselves with radiation because they just didn't follow any safety procedures whatsoever.
Two times that happened. But are they
idiots because...
Let's not say idiots, let's say irresponsible. But men can be irresponsible and foolish with their science, whereas women have to be the absolute best just to be recognized as something.
Yeah.
It's difficult because we're just not taught about many women scientists. And so I honestly implore you, today, if you're listening to this, go out and read about five women that are prominent in science, because you probably should. And there's not very many of them that we know about because they just don't get recorded. For years and years and years, decades even, centuries, women's influence in science just wasn't recorded. Obviously, there was a point where women weren't allowed to read or write.
Mm.
And so any input that women had was just stamped out through history. So just because you don't know very many women in science doesn't mean that they don't exist. For instance, brake pads were invented by a woman.
Love this.
Really?
Yeah. Brake pads were invented by a woman. Windscreen wipers, I'm fairly sure, were invented by a woman. So many inventions throughout history were from women.
We went to...
But we ignore it.
Corey and I went to a recording of QI this week.
Is that
Rachel.
Where I got that from?
And the wife of the guy who... was invented Mercedes-Benz, Mr. Benz, took the car on a road trip
Mr. Mercedes. Prove,
like the wife took it on a road trip. And when she was there on the way, she went to this place to ask for somebody to put some leather on the brake pads so that they didn't wear out. And in so doing, invented the brake pad.
Oh, wow. So
she also stole the car.
To visit
she stole the car.
She
yes.
stole the car.
Yeah.
But where would we be?
Props to
she didn't
that.
Steal that car.
Yeah.
Probably be
rolling.
Probably yeah, not going anywhere. Probably using bikes.
Not stopping.
Yeah.
Crashing all the time.
Oh yeah, brake pads. Yeah. But yeah, that is kind of my point of this episode. That there are a lot of women in science, and they're just you're not going to find them if through school or university. So you need to take that on yourself to go and find out about them. This was just a little story about Marie Curie, and you know what? We'll probably do some more stories about different women in science, but I just thought this was a good one and I hope you enjoyed it.
What
do you guys
really
think?
Good.
Do you all enjoy it?
Yeah, I know so much more now. I feel sad that I wasn't taught about female scientists when I was in school.
Thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee review or send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
Follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
You can follow me at Lickuffle everywhere.
I'm at RachelKiki _ on Twitter and at RachelKicks on Instagram.
Goodbye. And that's all from us. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.